Father, thank you. Thank you that we can come together this morning. Thank you for your presence here with your Holy Spirit, Lord, to minister to us your life, Lord, your peace and your victory. We just ask you, Lord, that as we go to your word, Lord, just help us to recognize, to see, just not to just hear the words, Lord, but you hear, that we may hear, Lord, you speaking to us, showing us, Lord, things that Jesus did. Lord, that it should be an example to us. They should guide us, empower us, Lord. And know, Lord, that the things that they did, he did it for us, Lord. And to teach us, to guide us, to empower us, to enable us to do the same thing. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about Jesus praying for himself. See, we've been looking at the final teachings that Jesus did to the disciples just before he was going to be called and, you know, go to Gethsemane and so on. So this is really the things that took place that are the critical thing. You know, when you are ready to leave, you just make sure that you give the important message, you know, summarize everything you did. You know, we see, you know, that one of the things are repeated strongly was to abide in his love, okay, to love one another, okay. And, you know, the fact that he was going to send, and this is most important one for us from a point of view of really be able to move on and not to be stuck in a religion, you know, to know that the Holy Spirit is given to us. And that Holy Spirit is going to be with us, living in us, not just being there, you know, theoretically or theologically, but to be there as a reality in our life, you know, living, be guiding us and taking us into all truth. We had to believe that. We had to connect with him to be able to move on in the things that he wants us to understand, okay? And he said, you know, that in that day when he's going to come to us, okay, we can ask anything in his name and we will receive it so that your joy may be full. See, that is really the, if you want, the evidence that he's been working in us and that we are not just going through the motions of religion, you know, not just going through, you know, services and meetings, but God is with us, ministering and is, you know, making us an attitude of developing in us an attitude of joy. Lots of time Christians have a long face and really, you know, there's really not that joy there. I think they're missing the boat. There should be joy springing up from inside us because this is the life that God has put there. Now, you know, when we understand that, then we can go into, you know, this is chapter 14, 15, 16 in John, the book of John, okay, the Gospel of John. We're going to start with, you know, chapter 17 today. And in chapter 17 is Jesus' prayer. I mean, if there is a Jesus, is a prayer that is going to be heard and answered, is Jesus' prayer. Because we can see in the Bible any place in which he prayed and things didn't happen. He always got answered. So we can expect, you know, the same thing for those prayers. There are two prayers in that chapter. One prayer is prayer, Jesus praying about himself, which we're going to talk about today. And the other one is Jesus praying about his disciples, his followers. Okay, we're going to talk about next week, and hopefully it may take even more than a week to cover. But the one, you know, the first eight verses had to do with the praying, Jesus praying about himself. Okay, and he's talking about his purpose, okay, for coming on earth. He's talking about the meaning of what he has done for us, what eternal life is. And, you know, the fact that he was going to restore the things that he was believing and waiting for, restoration of what he has been always like, before he came to Earth. Now, you know, this is really something that we can expect. We had to learn from these prayers. Because up to now, up to this, everything in the Bible, all the prayers in the Bible, up to this point, including Jesus' prayer, are all Old Testament prayers. They are not based on victory already. They are not based on what he has achieved just very shortly after. He's already confessing and preaching and sharing and believing and declaring what will take place. And with that, we have to understand that this is really a prayer of faith. If you want to see a prayer of faith, look at these prayers. Just spend time meditating on them. Just see the way Jesus is praying that is so different from the way most of the people pray, even today. Because they don't understand yet our position as New Testament believers. With people that are born again, they have the Holy Spirit inside them. Jesus already had the Holy Spirit inside them. He always had it from the very beginning. Okay? But we, as born again believers, should start thinking, operating, praying the way he was praying. Okay. Now, you know, even when he started his ministry, okay, he didn't start, "Lord, please give me the anointing to do the things you call me for. Give me what you promised for me to have." There was no begging God. It was a declaring what God has said about him. If you remember, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty." Didn't say to beg for liberty. "Proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." I mean, the acceptable year of the Lord, the acceptable time of the Lord. The kairos, the time, the special time that God has appointed for certain things, for there is always a special time that God appoints, that knows when it's going to happen things. Okay, this is what he's saying there. And then he closed the book and gave him back to this attendant. He was in the synagogue there and sat down. This is in front of everybody. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your ear." That's a strong declaration. I mean, he was saying, "I am the Messiah." In front of everybody, and they were looking at him and said, "Who do you think he is?" I mean, you know, that was a prayer of faith. If you look at the result of the prayer on that particular moment, you say it was a complete failure. I mean, they almost threw him off a cliff as a result of that. He had to just go through them. So if you look at the physical, immediately you say, "Well, it didn't work." Oh, we know it worked. See, there is some time, a period of time, in which things has to happen in the physical. He was starting to declare what he knew was true, what he had faith for, what he had been built up for. Are you following me? You see, he was not just asking for something. God had talked to him. God had directed him. The Holy Spirit had been working on him and giving revelation about the word. He knew. He was took a scripture from Isaiah, you know, and just read it because it applied to him. And he stated, declared what God has said. He didn't care. That was a bold position he took. See, when I talk about taking a position, you take a position according to what God says, not your own idea. See, God's promises, this was a promise that God had given to him specifically, but for us too, because that was working not just for, you know, he came for us. Are you following what I'm saying? See, we had to learn when we are praying a prayer of faith, that's the way we operate. And, you know, it goes on. Now, this is at the beginning of his ministry. At the end of his ministry, John chapter 17. This is what happened. And it's exactly the same thing, exactly the same attitude, exactly the same similar things are said at this time that are bold statement about what God said about him. Believing what God has said and appropriating it by faith. You know, he worked exactly the same way as we work. We had to get things by faith the same way as he got things by faith. He was our example. I want this to really get to your mind and to your heart. Because that is where it has to work. That's what we had to learn to function and operate with, the way he did. Okay. So Jesus prayed for himself about things, okay, that about his mission, about what he was there for, about so that he's sustaining his position, and he's sustaining that this is was coming to the end of the work or the mission that he had down here. And was coming into the new phase of his ministry. And he was boldly stating that in front of the disciples. See, in John chapter 17, verse 1 says, Jesus spoke this word, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, I have come to glorify, no, the hour has come. See, the hour has come. The time has come. See, there is always, what I say, the Kairos time of God. Kairos time of God is the point, the time appointed by God for certain things on the physical. Okay, this is the hour is come. Glorify your son. So he's telling God, glorify me. That's what he's telling. He's not saying, Lord, please now do what you said you're going to do. No, he knew that the time was for him to, that was the end of his ministry. That was the end of his walk down here. He said, now is the time that you give glory to him. You know, we're going to see this business about glory because there's that's something that for a long time I couldn't completely grasp. But we had to understand the way, you know, God meant all these things. And these are spiritual things, they're not physical. So glorify your son, that your son also may glorify you. See, there is an ongoing thing, you know, it's just God does something for us, God, we do something for God. When we receive God's promises, we get the glory of God working in us. But doesn't stop, yea and amen, you know, it's for every promise of God, yea and amen, you know, in Christ, by which we give glory to God. Okay, this is the way that he gives glory to us and we give glory to him. Let me continue here. So this is really declaring God's promise that he already gave before, that he received. In John chapter 12, verse 23, okay, says, but Jesus answered and said to him, you know, when this was when Philip was asking, show us God. Okay. And the other says, again, the hour has come when the Son of Man should be glorified. You see, there is always, it's repeating this idea, this, you know, this is the time. And this was not quite the time because it was really a bit of time left, but that is really the time when it was, is now. Okay, and, you know, but God prepared things. And so, you know, this is the time for his second coming. And we know that he's coming, he's not tomorrow, but he's coming and he's getting closer and closer, so we can say, this is the time. That's the Kairos time in which, you know, God is going to manifest himself. Jesus is going to come down a second time. And we should know in our spirit that that's be the case. Anyway, let me continue here. Verse 27. Now my soul is troubled. I mean, that's a funny thing to say. I mean, now the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The following verse says, now my soul is troubled. I mean, you are glorified and you are troubled? That doesn't make any sense, does it? Well, doesn't make any sense in the physical if your eyes don't understand what he's talking about, if your mind doesn't grasp. He said, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose, I came to this, you know, to this hour. So the idea is really that evidently sometime glorifying doesn't mean necessarily this is a great time it's going to take. It was a process that was taking place. Okay, he knew perfectly well what was going to happen. He knew that he was going to be crucified. He knew that he was going to be tortured. He knew that he was going to be rejected by everybody. He knew the physical ordeal that he had to go through. That's why he was troubled. Because, you know, nobody goes into that saying, oh, this is going to be a great time. But, you know, he knew that that was, you know, he was looking at this situation, not just in the physical part that he was troubled. You know, he knew that was the glory coming. His glory would come through that. Okay. So this is the way why he came for. That's the purpose I came for to this hour. Okay. So, you know, he knew. Because he knew the scriptures. He read Psalm 22. Just read Psalm 22. It described very clearly everything that he was going on, both physically and spiritually. Okay. And he understood very well what was going to take place. Okay. Just read it. Just spend time. You know, when he was crucified at the end, you know, that's what he was quoting. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you so forsaken me? He wasn't there. You know, he was understanding. He was repeating. He was mentioning what the scripture was saying and realizing that that's what had to happen. And he was aligning himself with what the word of God said. So that's, you know, he is our example. Sometimes we go through the hard times. We go through things that are difficult. But we have to see the way Jesus functioned in that particular time to learn. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says something that applies to us and relate to this situation. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the glory that was set, for the joy that was set before him. He wasn't looking at the things he's going to go through now. He was looking at the things that are going to come after. Okay, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, or the throne of God. So you see, this is the way, this is for us, the way we have to understand. Sometimes we go through things, but if we go through it the right way, if we know and we understand that, you know, if we look at God's promises concerning those things that we go through, then we are going to be able to look at the joy that was set before us, because God said it, and we believe it, and we believe more the joy set before us than the things that we are going through. That to teach us. Are you following me? See, the thing, that's a way to overcome. See, that's a way that we go through the process that we go through at that particular time, but the process is not the end of the story. What the end of the story is the victory that comes. So we are not focused on the problem that we are experiencing one way or another. The enemy brings it up. That's what the enemy does all the time. He comes to kill and steal and destroy, but he, Jesus, came to give us life more abundantly. So you look at the life, the abundant life that comes behind that, and that by just doing that, by just exercising your faith, by just believing God and his promises rather than the situation of the moment, that's what the enemy wants you to do. Look at the situation. Look at the problem. Look at the difficulty. Look at the hardship that you're going to go through, and you're starting to focus on that instead of focusing what's coming after. So your faith is not working, and you are going to stay there because the enemy got you. You had to go beyond that. That's what Jesus did all the time. Even when he did at the beginning. You know, if you was looking only at the response of the circumstances of the people around him in Nazareth, when he stated his mission, he would have given up. Most of the people would just give up. Oh, nobody cares about me. Nobody believes me. Who cares? God believes in you, and God knows what he's promised you, and he knew the promises of God, and you hold on to that. And then it doesn't matter people laughing at you. Doesn't matter people accusing you, oh, what kind of sin did he do? Nothing to do with sin most of the time. The enemy finds sneaking in way to put stuff on us. But it's the faith in what God has said, in the promises, that give us the victory, because we are not going to be affected emotionally and spiritually by the things that are taking place, and we just push through by faith. We are talking about Jesus here. I mean, we are talking about Jesus' example for us. You know, he wasn't a pushover. He stood in his position that he took at the very beginning, because he had developed his faith. He has developed his understanding. He was in a clear position from the very beginning, and he just continued to operate into that till the very end, when the time was come to say, okay, now, you know, you're going to glorify your son. And that's really the critical thing that has to happen anyway. It's not much fun, but for the joy that was set before him. We need some deliverance here. All right, let's continue here. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. See, this is an example for us, okay, that we had to learn to apply. So, you know, and God confirmed that. You know, God already had confirmed that to his heart when he was, you know, before he went through it. You know, in John, continuing in John chapter 12, verse 28, says, Father, glorify your name. said Jesus praying. Okay. And then a voice came from heaven saying, I have, Okay. And then a voice came from heaven saying, I have been glorified, and it is will glory and will glorify it again. I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. So the voice came from heaven. Okay. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard, he said that he had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. So you see, there was a supernatural manifestation there. I mean, Jesus was saying, you know, was praying, says, you know, glorify now your son, glorify yourself, which was the same thing. And a voice came from heaven. And people say, well, just a thunder. Others says, no, he's an angel speaking to him. So evidently, that shows us, show us something important that we understand here. Okay, when there is a spiritual manifestation, not everybody gets it. I mean, in this case, God was speaking. The same thing when Jesus was baptized. You know, God was speaking, and people didn't hear it, didn't understand it. They were there. Don't try, you know, the same thing at church every Sunday. You know, the anointing is here. The anointing is ministering to people. Some people may sense the anointing. Other people may fall asleep. Or got absolutely nothing. Says nothing happened there. Another person can get completely healed of problems and things. What's the matter? Who is right? Well, evidently, not everybody can hear and receive spiritual things that are happening the same way. Are you following me? Two people sitting one next to the other, one is just getting blessed out of their shoes, the other one snoring. Okay. Thing is, you know, Jesus said at that time, not everybody heard it, but Jesus said that the answer, Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but is for your sake. Very interesting. First of all, not everybody got it. Okay? But he says, you know, I didn't need that. I didn't need that confirmation. This is for you to get ready to understand, you know, if you got it, that means that this was for you. If you didn't get it, that means you weren't ready. I have to repeat that again. If you got it, that was for you. If you didn't get it, you were not ready to hear it. Okay. Now, okay. That really should teach us about our spiritual experiences that are not, you know, something that you can make sure that another person get it. The person get it when they are ready to get it. And they are not ready, there is nothing you can do about it. Because it depends on what? The way God likes them? Depends on them. Depends on the way they are. Okay. In Matthew chapter 13, says very clearly, verse 14, and then the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled, which says, hearing they will not hear, nor shall be understand, and seeing they shall not, you know, see and not perceive. For the heart of these people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes are closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and that's the key, and turn so that I may should heal them. So you see that the idea is here. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ear, for they hear. You see, the idea is when we can receive, is because our heart is open. Open our eyes, the eyes of our heart that we sang today. That applies completely here. See, that opening up, that desire, that priority, that position that we take in terms of being open to receive enables us to get it. This is why somebody comes to church and the only thing they can think about is what they're going to have lunch for his friends later on or everything else. That's what they're going to get. If you come to church expecting to see the God power, the power of God operating, you're going to see it. And you're going to be able even to receive it. See, our expectations, our attitude, our heart makes all the difference on the things we are going to receive. This is the way our position, see, I always talk about our position because nobody does. You know, our position makes all the difference for us to receive. Are you still with me? Okay. And Jesus said, blessed are the eyes that can see. Okay. For assuredly I say to you, the many prophets and righteous men desire to see the things that you see and did not see it, or hear the things that you hear and did not hear it. So the idea is, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, that was really an exception. There are thousands of years there. I mean, all, you know, there are lots of big spiritual, you know, event taking place. Yeah, over thousands of years. In just 3 years in Jesus' life, you know, there were more than all of them put together for forever. And there are more even today. Praise the Lord. So, let me continue. That was just the first verse of Jesus' prayer. Let's go to verse 2. John 17:2. As you have given him authorities, talking about, you know, sometimes when we pray this prayer, the prayer of faith, we should do it in a personalized way. So instead of saying, you know, you giving him, you know, you pray, giving me, you know, giving me this, you know, you thank you for the things that I instead of he or whatever. Okay. Now, for you are giving him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given them. So you say he's given authority. Authority is exousia, which actually means, you know, the ability to do something, the power to produce some type of result. Okay, so what are the results that they are given? That you should give eternal life to as many as you give him. So as many as you give him, you know, is God giving him to him? Well, are the ones that are open. So the ones that are open to him, he is, and there are some part that they play, you know, that's what is going to happen, that he's going to give them eternal life. Okay. For as the Father rises as the dead from and gives them life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. So he says, you know, whoever I want to give him life, I give him to. And the one that he's going to give him to is the people and the people that respond to him. Okay. Again, it's not just because one day he likes your face. It's because you are responding to him, you are open to him, and so he gives it to you. Right? Eternal life. Okay? He can grieve. See, another principle that we have to remember is that we can give freely what we have. Freely give as freely received. Or as freely received, you freely give. So the idea is everything that we received, we can give. If you haven't got it, you have nothing to give. So we had to go by what we are actually received spiritually to be able to help other people spiritually. It's not a question of memorizing some scriptures. When we receive those scriptures, we are in the condition to give it to the others. Otherwise, what we are doing is just talking about something that we haven't experienced. And that doesn't have power. Power comes from experience, from actually having lived through the thing. Okay? Praise the Lord. You following me? Now, here he's talking about eternal life. You know, give him eternal life. You know, if we have even understand what eternal life is really a big thing. Okay? But we're going to see in a moment. The point is, you know, there are conditions to receive whatever is given to us. Okay? Give eternal life. It's not that Jesus wants to give eternal life to anybody that, you know, is people that respond to him. People that are going to, you know, people that are actually opening up to what he's saying and responding according to God's way. And it's really very clear. Okay, there are conditions to receive anything from God. God doesn't just give things to people that do not put themselves in the place to receive. He always creates the conditions. Okay. And the condition to receive it is to believe him and to make Jesus the Lord of their life. So anybody that make Jesus Lord and believe what he says, then they're going to receive it. They're going to receive eternal life. People are not going to receive eternal life just because we go through a certain formula. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not a formula that brings spiritual breakthrough. It's not even special prayer. It's when you align yourself, your thinking, your position with God's expected position, Jesus, the Lord of your life. And you believe that Jesus He is the Messiah, that he is the one who came back from life and he overcame death and overcame the enemy. That is the condition to manifest the greatest miracle that happens all the time, which is your spirit connect with God. You are born again. You are set free. You are starting to move in a spiritual dimension. You start seeing spiritual things. You start experiencing God, the God, kingdom of God. You start walking into the kingdom, into the spiritual dimension. Are you following me? Okay. So, and he says very simply that, you know, Romans 10, 9 and 10, you know, who confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, he shall be saved. For with the heart, one believes into righteousness, and with a confession is made unto salvation. You know, your confession is made unto salvation. So the idea is that's the way you're going to manifest salvation that involves anything that received from God. Any bondage, any blockage, anything, sickness, disease, sin, anything that, whatever it is, you can break through because the power of God is released through those two things. And we have been talking about, you know, the position that we take. Actually, this is simply a position that we take, aligning ourselves up with God's word concerning those things that is going to manifest itself. And there is no way that it cannot. And we know that it took place because we just see things. We are different. And it's going to be manifest in the physical because the physical is going to be reflecting nothing else than what is inside you. Now, going back to Jesus' prayer, John 17:3 says, and this is eternal life. Now, Jesus explained to us what is eternal life. Okay, what it means to have eternal life. Okay, that they may know you, the Father, and the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So you see, and they know, the word know is ginosko. So it's not just say they know about you. They are going to be personally known you. They are going to have an actual experience of knowing you and being impacted by that experience and knowing that you are work, who you are, what the way works. You know, there's been a change inside them. Okay. That's what makes all the difference. That's what, you know, makes... See, this is why eternal life is not just a theoretical statement. It's actually an experiential knowledge that we get about God and the Father. Because we have positioned ourselves in terms of connecting with God and connecting with Jesus. And we have made a position for ourselves because we have spoken it out. It's not because somebody told us to speak it out. It's God that's going to come out all the time in us because we are believing that. Because is that the word of our faith? We speak what we believe. No, we speak what somebody told us to do. See, when there is that experience, there is power operating in us, changing the way we are, changing our position with God, but not just religiously, it's just our reality in us. We are different. We are not anymore the person we were before. Praise the Lord. So, that personal experience is the result of this knowledge, knowing God. You know, is experiencing God in Jesus Christ is much more than reading about him, having a personal, is reading about him from anybody else, or even reading in the Bible. It's actually having a personal supernatural relationship with Jesus and the Father. So continue with Jesus' bold declaration. It goes one after the other. Okay, okay. Verse 4, 17:4. And having, I have glorified you on the earth, and I have finished the work which you have given me to do. So you see, this is a pretty good, pretty strong statement. He knew that he was called to be the Messiah. He said, I've done it. I've done everything in preparation for that. Okay, and I finished the work that I need to do down here. Now there is a part that has to come that I don't have to do very much, but go through it. Okay, that's a pretty, you see, he had represented the Father in all his life, through in the things that he did, through in the miracles that he did, through in the teaching that he did. Now, you know, he just declares it. Okay. That's probably the greatest of the whole declaration that Jesus ever did. Okay, the greatest declaration Jesus did is what he did with Philip, when he says, you know, show us the Father. And you know, Jesus said to him, I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me. Philip, who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? You see, this is probably the greatest declaration, I mean the most bold declaration that Jesus ever did. Okay. So he did, you know, he had the habit of saying these things. Okay, he was going around all the time saying things that would get people to say, who do you think this guy is? Okay. But in reality, he was saying nothing else but what the Father said. And he was declaring, see, he was speaking out, believing in his heart and speaking with his mouth. Same thing. What you do, when you do the same thing, when you say, Jesus is my Lord, you know, and I believe in him, and I believe and I receive him as my Lord and Savior, and I'm saved. Are you following me? Jesus functions exactly the same way as we should function. And he did it all the time, not just sometime. Now, let me continue. See, this should be an example for us, should be helping us to understand the way we should operate. Whatever thing we need to receive, whatever things God promised to us, if we believe in the promises of God, we start confessing our promises, not because, it's because we believe with our heart and we confess them with our mouth. And when we do that, there is no way that you cannot get it. And it's not just that you are going to go through something that somebody taught you. No, it's something that you strongly believe, that you experience, and you experience more and more. Starting to continue to express the different things that God has done for you and that God is want to do with you. Praise the Lord. Okay. This is why, we had to learn, talking about what God wants to do is to make us grow more and more like Jesus. One part of growing more and more like Jesus is the way we speak. See, before you're going to have the manifestation, you have to have believed it in your heart. If you believe that you cannot do it, that you are going to be always, a sinner saved by grace, you're going to stay a sinner saved by grace and you're going to get nowhere. When you instead start to believe that what Jesus did for you has changed you, you are a new creation, all things are of God, and you start to believe that, and you start speaking that, and you start accepting that, then this is going to be changing the way you think about yourself. Your image, your self-image is going to be completely different. You are going to be able to see yourself the way God sees you as a newborn again believer, and you start to go, doing what? Manifesting it. Because that's the way you see yourself. That's your position. Are you getting what I'm talking about when I'm talking about position? Your identity. Today, with the question of identity, it's a problem all over the world. People don't even know what if they are animals or people. Okay. Can you be so more confused than that? Okay. Well, the gap that we had to go through is a much bigger gap here. There is a question of growing into a reality that is far superior to anything that we can ever think or imagine. He's starting to operate, the things that he did do also, and greater things that he did because he's going to the Father, and he has made it possible for us to make that connection with him and to start manifesting this stuff. Are you still with me? You see that how just this short prayer, if you connect the verses of these 8 verses, essentially, of prayer with Jesus, with all the things that he said before, everything goes together. Here he's summarizing everything that he said before and making a statement, a final statement about where he stands. Okay. All right. Okay. So it says, and now, verse 5, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory that we have had with you, that I had with you before the world was. Now that's really, keeps going and just get upper and upper and up. Now he's saying, glorify me with the glory I had before. Before I came down here. Now, he never experienced as a man that before. That was revelation that he got by reading the Word and dealing with the Holy Spirit. And he was making a statement of faith. that evidently took place because he did experience that, and now he's actually, you know, experiencing even more glory than he had before. Because he did what all of it did. It's a name above every name. Not just the Son, but you know Jesus himself. You know, has a name above every name. Principalities and power and everything else. Are you following me? I mean, this is pretty exciting. Hallelujah. So, and, you know, go to Philippians chapter 2. It says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's what he's telling us to do. I mean, mind there is phroneo, is not just thinking. His attitude, his position. Okay, just get the same attitude that he had. I mean, that means, you know, you start quoting the scripture, you start saying the scripture, you start believing the scripture according to what the word says, what the promise of God, when you, as you are in Christ, those are yours. See, everything goes together. You know, you can't take a scripture in isolation. You'd have to take the whole scripture because then only then it's going to work. If you just take a scripture that is convenient for you that you want to, and you just try to confess it, just can't get anywhere. And then you say this stuff doesn't work. Yeah, because you don't understand it. We continue, yeah. Okay. So, being in the form of man, he did not consider himself a robbery to be equal with God. Okay, he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant or actually a slave, voluntary slave, coming in the likeness of man, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death, the death on the cross. So really, that tells the story. I mean, we had to be willing to follow God anywhere and manifest the things that he said we will manifest and we will. Okay. Verse 6, John 17, 6. Say, I have manifested your name. He's talking about with God. Huh? So he's talking, you know, to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They are yours. You gave them to me and they kept your word. So, you know, what he did is manifest in name of the demonstration of the kingdom of God, demonstration of his kingdom, showing the word, being, you know, in, you know, really all the things that he did were really to show God's operation. That you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Okay. So, and he's out here in this verse, he's taking the position, another position, another part of his personality, okay, as the good shepherd. You know, that is repeated in other part in the Bible, but, you know, this is really, you know, he's the good shepherd, okay. So, verse 7, now they have known all the things that you have given me, that are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me. And they have received them, and that's an important part from our point of view or from the disciple point of view, and have known surely that I came from you, okay, and they have believed that you sent me. So you see, this is the position that they had to be able to receive from Jesus, to be able to hear what he was teaching, to be able to do. See, you know, but the key thing is, you know, that the word has made the difference, and they accepted the word, and they received the word. And this is the same for us today. There is no difference today than the disciples on those days. We hear the word, we receive the word, we receive and get all the benefit that they got at that time. Okay. So, and this is really taking a position that he taking for us. Okay. Believing in me And this is what, you know, at this point, has completed everything that he had to say about his ministry and what he's going to do. And now he's going to take the function that he's given as a good shepherd, that he's given in the following verses of the prayer. See, from that moment on, he start praying for us. Now, it's important to see Jesus' prayer for himself because it teaches us how we had to pray for ourselves. He's not begging God. He's believing what he has done. He's standing on the place. He's receiving the word, applying the word, believing the word, and start living the word. Okay? By faith, the way Jesus did. Okay? So, and, you know, he's a good shepherd. He cares about us. So instead of 8 verses to pray for himself, and 1 from 29 or 28 there is for us. So he's praying for us much more than for himself. Okay. But not only that, you know, he's mentioned everything that we got. So if we prayed these things for us, and that was a prayer of faith, prayed by Jesus, that there is anybody that gets the prayer answered is Jesus, because he always prayed by faith and not, you know, fooling himself that he believes something. So what happens? That you can expect those things to happen and to experience again yourself. So, you know, if he got a good time listening to what Jesus did for himself, you know, he should get even a better time because then he did it for us too. I mean, we can say the same prayer for ourselves the way Jesus did, and say a prayer for the people that we pray for others. Okay, well, that's, we covered enough for today. Did you get enough? Okay, so we can really be excited about understanding what Jesus achieved, okay, in his prayer, that, you know, if we really get the understanding of what these two prayers really mean and receive it by faith, you can't stay the same place anymore. Promise you. But you have to start doing, not just hearing. Okay? You start with opening our heart. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord, that I may understand and I may receive. So let's pray together. Okay? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to be an example for us, to die for us, to show us the way, that we may walk as he walked, that we may overcome as he overcame. We just praise you and thank you for your goodness. We know that it's not for what we do, but for what he did, that we can benefit today, be transformed, empowered, quickened by your Spirit dwelling in us to give us victory in every situation we are in. And we give you glory and honor as we receive things from you, that pleases you, because we exercise our faith, believing your word, believing in what you did for us, believing in what Jesus did for us. And we just thank you and glorify your name, Lord. Thank you. You are a good father. Jesus is a good shepherd. And we open our heart to you, both of you, thanking you and receiving in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.